You know, in the summer, it gets hot, and we say, oh, well, we'll put that off till it gets cooler. Then it gets cooler, and we say, well, we'll put that off till it warms up a little bit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's sort of easy to relax and say, well, hey, we'll do that later. Well, you know, spiritually, it's easy to get that way, and it's easy not to maintain a constant confession of faith. You know, it's sometimes in the middle of our fiery trial, well, we grow passive. Sometimes we find ourselves not even doing it. It's important that you learn to diligently and consistently speak God's word. You know, one of the first areas I think that people's first area they start breaking down in is that continually making daily confessions of the Word of God in their lives. It's very important that you continue to do that every day. I try every day to start my day out with, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then I like to, when I'm getting, I usually do this as I'm getting ready in the morning, as I'm getting ready, shaving and combing what hair I got left. And, you know, and then I'll say, no weapon formed against me today will prosper. And then I will claim health and healing, you know, and then I make a few confessions. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. See, these are things that we need to make daily confessions of what the Word of God says. The enemy knows that if he can get us to shut down on making the confessions from the Word of God, he can take advantage of us. You know, in Matthew 4:4, where Jesus was in temptation, he kept saying, it is written. It is written. Matthew 4:4 is written, man shall not live of bread alone, but ever by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, you know, by doing that, he prevailed against the enemy. And that should be our example. We have to hold fast to our confession of faith. Hebrews 10:23 says, I'll stop long enough for you to turn there. I'm going fast. I got a tendency to do that sometimes. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. That's the New King James. The God's Word translation says, we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. The one who made the promise is faithful. And then the Message Bible says, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. If you maintain a constant confession of your faith, then you will receive what the Word of God says belongs to you. You know, we have to hold a tight rein on our mouth and make sure that we continue to say the same thing. You know, how many of you rode a horse? You know, if you own a spirited animal, you got to hold a tight rein. If you don't, that horse will take off with you. Now, if you own one that's not so spirited, you can just sort of sit there and relax, you know, and not pay much attention to what's going on. And he just plod along, you know. I was riding Calico Bay at my uncle's place one time, and, you know, I'd gone out and got some. He had just a little small spread in a few hundred acres, and he had some calves, and he needed them around, so I got Calico Babe, and I was out there, and I got them all rounded up, and they're all headed for the barn with no problem, you know. And it was a warm, lazy, early spring, probably early May, I think it was, day, and I'm sitting there, you know, just sort of rocking along in the saddle, not even paying any attention to it, and all of a sudden one of those calves broke out. And of course, Babe was a calico Babe. She was a good cutting horse, and she wheeled really fast like that. And I lost a stirrup. Well, if any of you know anything about a cutting horse, they will get that calf back in the herd, and you don't even have to rein them. I mean, and of course, with one leg out, and I'm not having it, I'm just hanging on for dear life because I couldn't get my foot back in that stirrup. And if you know anything about it, if you ever been there, it's not much fun, you ain't, because the horse is in control. You're not in control anymore. The horse is in control. And she got the calf back in the herd, and then she just settled down. I was able to get my foot. But that's a good example of the way we are sometimes. We just rocking along in life. Everything's going good. No problems, everything. And we let down on our confession. And then the enemy can take advantage of us. Hello. So, you know, we need to continually keep our constant confession of what the Bible says, the Word of God. You know, we'd get in a difficult situation. I was a teenager, 14, 15 years old, 16. I'd say, what are we going to do now, Dad? If somebody don't know my father, Kenneth Hagin, he was recognized as one of the great Bible teachers of the last whatever you call it, century, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, and he would say to me always, it's just another opportunity to prove God's word works. He would never change his confession. It didn't matter what happened or what didn't happen. He still maintained the same confession of faith. And if you ask him a question, he would tell his answer to you would be, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? That was always his answer. Because it's our daily confession and it's us knowing what the Bible says that gets us the promises of God in our life. You know, here this Hebrews 12:23 says, for he who promised is faithful. The basic English Bible says, he is true who has given his word. The contemporary English says, we can trust the one who made the agreement with us. Now, I remember growing up, my grandpa, he had a farm down there in that black land in north central Texas. And then after that, he became a guard at the cotton mill there in Sherman, which is not there now. Papa used to tell me, son, you're only as good as your word. If I give my word to somebody, I don't have to have a lawyer or anything else. If I give my word, I will keep my word even if it costs me money. And he used to tell me that all of the time. Well, let me tell you what. God made a promises to us, and he keeps his word. You can depend on him. How many of you know somebody that if they tell you something, you can depend on that it will happen? We probably all do. Yes, it will happen. If there's certain people that tell me they're going to do something, then I know it's going to happen. I've had a lot of people come up and tell me, oh, we're going to give so many $1,000 in the offering, you know, maybe some of our big crusades or something or at the church. And I just say, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and, you know, go on down the road. But if there was some certain businessmen, if they come up and tell me that, I know it's going to happen because they're not just talking, they will keep their word. God's not just talking like some people do. He will keep his word. If he said it, he will do it. Amen? Y'all with me? Y'all gone home already? All right. You know, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, reading from the NIV, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Well, what's amen mean? So be it. So it says here, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes to us in Christ. And through him, we say amen, or so be it. It will be. God has declared through Christ's redemptive work at Calvary that all the promises of ours are ours. But we have to agree with him, and we have to make the confession of the fact that the promises are ours. You know, I mean, some of what was it, years ago, there was a little song we would sing, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line.
All the blessings of his love divine.
She knows all the music. She's a... Every promise in the book is mine. Anybody ever remember singing that chorus? Yeah, it was popular, what, back in the late 70s, early 80s, I think, as a popular chorus. 60s. Huh? 60s. Okay. I wasn't trying to be so old. You know, thank God for a good helpmate. I wouldn't be where I am today without this lady right here. She's something else. I can tell you that. But see, if we're going to get what God said we're going to get, we got to agree with him, get our mind off of the problem and on to the solution. The solution is in God's word. You know, if we keep looking at our problems, all of a sudden we look at our limitations and we are limited. But if we look at God and his solution, there is no limits. His promises will come to pass. You know, you need to, some people, sometimes I wonder if they've ever read the Bible and what they say. You know, our confession has to be in line with the word of God. Now, you know, I've been on a lot of television broadcasts, you know, and I have to sign a paper to give them permission to use that whatever we do on that television broadcast. Anybody ever done that before? You have to give permission, because without that permission sign, I could go back and say, hey, you weren't supposed to use that on the air. But you see, we can't use a pen and sign our name and give God permission to work in our lives. The way we give God permission to work in our lives is to confess his word. That gives him permission to work in our lives. No matter what is happening in our life, we must keep believing and keep saying what God said in his word. You know, Mark 11:23, all of you know what it says. It says, for surely I say unto you, whoever says this mountain be thou removed, then cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Right? Now this verse tells us three times that we are to say, and believe in our heart. Now many people believe the word in the heart, but they don't ever speak nothing out their mouth. If they do, they mumble. No, you need to speak it out. I tell people sometimes, I said, you know, quit mumbling the word, speak it out. Let the devil know that you know what you're talking about. If you don't really know what you're talking about, you'll mumble. You just be quiet. You don't say a whole lot. You need to let the devil know, hey, I'm in charge around here. You're not. You know, we're celebrating Easter next week. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, he defeated the enemy. And the enemy will come back to you. He'll try to tell you it can't happen, it won't happen, but you got to quote the word of God to him. You know, if you stay silent, if you've been served a notice that somebody is suing you in court, if you don't go and say something, if you just stay silent, you lose. Right. Hello? You lose by default, they call it. Hey, you lose if you don't keep quoting the word of God to the enemy. Amen. Amen. Diligently speak the word of God over every part of your situation, everything that's come. But just be consistent with it. There, you have to be consistent, and not diligence is there, but consistency is important. Now, Ben Campbell Johnson, he has a paraphrased version, and I like this verse. And truly anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder, saying, dump yourself in the lake. Now, here's what I want you to get a hold of. And does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. Does not become separated from the statement he makes. You know, this version then indicates that we could become separated. How can that happen? Well, you know, we begin to doubt and we say something different from what we our first confession was. Yes. You know, some people, one time you see them, they say, "Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. God is mine. I'm a victor in Jesus Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. Praise the Lord." Next time you see them, they're walking along, their heads down. "I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not." Hello? You see, there's no consistency there. They're up one day, down the next, you know. Consistency is being the same all the time. You know, what you see is what you get out of me. I maintain the same type of attitude all the time. People that have known me for a while know this to be a fact. You know, there's Ansley over there. She's taking a picture of me right now. She travels on a crusade team and sings. And she'll tell you, "I'm just like this on the airplane or in the bus. I'm the same all the time." And that's what you've got to be. You got to be the same with the Word of God all the time. You can't be up one day and down the next. You know, people make a confession, you know, "Man, praise the Lord, I'm going to overcome." And the next time you say, "Oh, I'm just scared to death that such and such is going to happen." Well, yesterday they told me they thank God and believe in God. Now the next day they say they're, one thing. You know, then some people, they say, you know, "Praise God, all my needs are met. Praise the Lord, hallelujah." And then they come back and say, "Oh, I don't know. I just don't have enough to make it. I don't know how I'm gonna pay my bills. Oh, my soul, blah 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 blah." You know, one day there, what you don't get nothing doing that way.
Right.
Hello, you know, some people, you know, they let offense and unforgiveness get in their heart, and then they say, "Well, let me tell you what so and so did to me." Well, you know, if you're holding offense, I don't care how much confession you make. Nothing, you're not going to get it, because if you're going down there, I'm reading Mark 11, 23, and then 24. But if you go down and read 25, it talks about that. It talks about if Mark 11, 23 and 24 are going to happen, you got to forgive down there in verse 25. Anybody ever read down verse 25? A lot of people don't read past 24. They don't want to read that one. Hello. See, maintain a constant confession of faith. You know, some people have to adopt the attitude that it can happen or it will happen. See, some people have the attitude, "Well, it don't make no difference. Whatever will be, will be. If God wants me to have it, He knows my house number. He can bring it to me." That's not what the Bible says. Hello? Bible says you go out and you take it. You know what the Bible says?
Yes.
To take it. Go out and take from the devil going to try to steal from you.
Yes.
You know, how do you take what belongs to doing what the Word says, doing what the Bible says? How did the children of Israel take Jericho? If you'll do a little study, you'll find out that Jericho was the most fortified city that had ever been built. It had never been taken. They say that the walls were thick enough, people lived in them, but you could drive two chariots around the top of the walls. And it had never been taken. But how did they do it? By doing what God said. God said, "Go out there and march around the wall one time every day for 6 days." That's what they did. Now, that sounds stupid. That's what the God said do. On the seventh day, they marched around seven times. They blew the trumpets and they hollered and the walls fell down. Now, actually, they had to implode. Because if they fell this way, they're going to fall on the children of Israel. So they had to implode, just go down and go inside. Anybody ever seen them blow down one of them skyscrapers? It just blows to the inside and just all falls down. That's what I think happened to Jericho. It had to. If the people out there marching around the walls and they don't get hit by the falling walls, it had to implode. right? I mean, no other way for it to happen. See, we've got to maintain the same confession, doing the same thing every day, what the Word says. My dad used to preach a message when I was a kid. He preached a message from Mark 5, the one with the issue of blood. Say it, do it, receive it, tell it. Say it, do it, receive it, tell it. See, she said, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be whole. Then she went out and did it, and she received, and then she told him. All right? So that way, one time I was about 14, I think, we was having a big youth deal, and this guy was supposed to, at the church, and everybody was there, the youth was all there, but our speaker hadn't showed up. We were supposed to have a guy, I think he's about 19, he's sort of a traveling little young teenage evangelist, he's 19, 18, 19, somewhere in there. But he didn't show up, and he wasn't there when we started. So everybody was all concerned, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Even the adult leaders that was there with us, what are we going to do? And I said, well, if he hadn't got here by the time it's time to preach, turn it over to me. And they said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to preach. That's what I'm going to do. And so I did. He didn't come. So that's what I did. I got up there and preached that sermon. I'd heard my dad preach it so many times. Say it, do it, receive it, tell it. You know, I had a guy come up and try to tell me one time that my dad believed about something. And I said, how many thousand sermons have you heard him preach? Oh, I don't know. I've probably heard him preach 500 sermons. I said, why don't you try 5,000? Now, that's probably, and that may be a short number that I've heard. Because I've been hearing him preach ever since I was 1 week old. I've been hearing him preach. And besides that, I live in his house. And besides that, I know him. How many nights have you ever spent with him? Oh, well, I never have. How many meals have you eat with him? Oh, never, never. I said, then how are you trying to come up here and tell me? He said, well, I just know I heard what he said. And I said, yeah. When you have his blood flowing through your veins and you have his DNA, and when you have lived with him like I have, then you have a right to talk. Up until then, keep your mouth shut. I told him that. See, what y'all don't know, I have mellowed quite a bit in my younger years. Older years. God, she always getting me here. No, because I used to be quite fiery. You know, if you're going to be an evangelist, and that's what I was until 1985, I started the church and the Lord made a pastor. An evangelist has to be fiery because about half the time the devil's fighting him everywhere he goes, and he's a fiery go get him type person, and that's my personality. But I want to tell you what, the devil backed me in a corner, I come out fighting. In the natural, when I was a kid, you back me in a corner and I'm going to come after you. That's just the way I'm geared. But I'm geared the same way. The devil going to back me in a corner. He going to find out that I know what the Bible says, and out of my mouth is going to be that two-edged sword just tearing him every way but loose. Amen? How many of you get anything out of this? God is moved to action whenever you say something. When you say something. You know, you don't have to turn there, but in Mark 10:46-52, it's the story of blind Bartimaeus sitting beside the Jericho road. And he found out it was Jesus, and that's the pantomime, and he hollered out, Jesus, have mercy on me, son of David, have mercy on me. And they told him, be quiet, you know. And they said, hey, just sit here. If Jesus notices you and come over, okay, but otherwise just be quiet. Or they said to him, well, now, hey, you don't deserve anything, you old blind beggar, so shut your mouth. Or somebody could have said, just be quiet. It doesn't do any good to cry out anyway. I tried it and it didn't work. But they told him to be quiet. It says they railed on him to be quiet. I'm from Texas, and down there in Texas, what they told him, they said, shut up, you old blind beggar. That's what they probably told him, you know. But Bartimaeus wouldn't keep his mouth shut. Amen. He kept hollering. And actually, if you study in the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do know how to do a little bit of research, there's two different Greek words used there. The first Greek word for the first time he spoke out was just a normal holler. You know, normal that you would, if you was going to holler at somebody back in the room, hey, so-and-so, like that. But that word that's used for that second one is, hey, you know, I mean, it's a death-chilling scream. Have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, come here. Now the same people that told him shut up said, oh, he wants you. You know, that's like a lot of people. They're not in favor of what the pastor's doing in the building program, and they're against it the whole time. And then they have dedication, and they invite their friends and say, come and see what we've done. We hadn't done nothing. Hadn't even give a penny toward it. I've been there and been in that situation before with people. So, you know, but that's another teaching over there. Okay. See, now I want you to notice something. Bartimaeus used his mouth to get to Jesus, right? We use our mouth by quoting the word. But now Jesus asked him a question and he used his mouth. Now Jesus said, what do you want? I'm going to just paraphrase it. And he could have told him about how hard and unfair life was. He could have given Jesus his complete medical history. Or he could explain his lifestyle that he had because he is blind. But none of that would have helped him. When Jesus said, what do you want? He said, I want to receive my sight. Now, Jesus made a tremendous statement here. He said, your faith, be healed. Your faith has made you whole. You see, his faith is what was speaking out. The woman with the issue of blood said in Mark 5, if I can touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And she touched his clothes. Jesus said power went out of him. But then when the woman come and told him the story, he said, your faith made you whole. Hello.
Yes, amen.
She had confession and action. Blind Bartimaeus just quote, said out of his mouth. And another place where you see the action of faith is in Luke 5, the power of the Lord was present to heal them, but none of them got healed, only him got healed. The four men brought somebody on a stretcher. They let him down. And it says when Jesus saw their faith, he told him to get up and walk. Now the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It said it, and you read it right there. But only him got healed. What was it? It was their confession and action of faith. That's what it was. Your confession and action of faith will bring you results every time. So make a decision to speak what the word says and do what the word says. As you speak and do what the word says, you'll find that you'll live life sublime. And as you go through life, he will give you everything you need, and you'll see you'll climb higher every day until you reach the point that you'll say, oh my goodness, how great this is, and how great God has been to me. But you can live the life of the greatness of God by doing and saying what he says. And then you can shout as you go along the road because you know all your needs are met and your sickness is gone because of who he is and what he did. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hey, somebody don't know what that was. That was just the Spirit of God come up in me and I just spoke it out. I do that a lot of times. And I don't even tell people I'm doing it. And they say, you don't ever prophesy. I said, I prophesy all the time. You just don't know it. I just do it while I'm preaching and just keep on going. I said, it ain't in the notes. It's come from the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I never like to preach unless I give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. If you're in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want to pray with you, or you need to rededicate your life. Let me see your hand right now and we'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, does anybody want to be prayed for healing tonight? All right, everybody stand. We got a prayer cloth we need to pray over. The Bible says in Acts 19, 11 and 12, they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul when they were laid on the sick. The diseases left, and for evil spirits they left in Jesus' name. Amen. The healing power evidently goes in the cloth. So reach your hands out. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We lay hands on this cloth. I thank you the healing power of God is going in. I thank you that mental and emotional needs will be met. Infection, you got to go in the name of Jesus. Suicidal thoughts, you've got to go in the name of Jesus. I command you in the name of Jesus, leave in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. There's Greg. You brought it up. You probably know who it goes to. Hallelujah. I pray for prayer cloths in my crusades all the time. And in fact, I mean, we got good, I don't know how many testimonies, but I mean, they're there. And I'm always having to tell people, don't come and get one if you didn't bring it down there. Isn't that right, Angela? Because people just come down there and get somebody else's cloth. I don't know how they figure they're going to get something, but getting some. So I have to tell them that. So that cloth, he brought it to me, so I guess he knows where it goes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who? Gwinnell. Come on, give a testimony. Gwinnell. She sometimes is one of the singers up here. Were you prayed for here?
It was that Wednesday night when you prayed for...
Oh, at the church. Okay.
So for months, actually, I had my... kind of dislocating my shoulder, not completely, but I knew it was dislocated because, you know, I couldn't do a full... I didn't have a full motion like I have now. And so I had to stop, or to raise my hand, I had to go like this, but I couldn't do this. And it lasted weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and I prayed on it, and I tried to do everything I knew to make it better, but it didn't work. And that night, Pastor Hagen just asked for shoulders. He had a word of knowledge, so I went, and he put his hands just right there. I was like, be healed. And I was. No pain, nothing, full range, without doing anything. I didn't move in any special ways. It's just God.
Amen. Hallelujah. A good testimony gives other people faith to believe God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, hey, y'all be here next Sunday. Brother Tad will be here. And then I think I'm back the next Sunday. My schedule is so crazy. I'll be back the next Sunday, okay? So, hey, I'm going to go over here to one door. She's going to go to the other. We'd like to shake hands with you as you go by. Hey. Oh, first-time guest? Did we have some first-time guests? I didn't see anybody raise their hand. Oh, okay, good. We're good to have you. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, I didn't see that. Go with Miss Jane. She's got a special gift for you. You're going to like it, too. It's a nice gift. It ain't just some little something or other. It's a nice gift. Praise the Lord. All right? Hey, y'all have a great, great Easter, okay? And I'll be preaching at church next Sunday morning. If you want to hear my Easter sermon, then you can tune in on the internet. I'll be there. God bless.